Does the gospel free you to do what you want? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's spiritual journey from Roman Catholicism and American Evangelicalism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues, etc. journal. Bach Cantata 70, watch, pray, watch. It's the appointed cantata for this Sunday, and you can hear it Sunday afternoon at 1 and Sunday evening at 8 Central at LutheranPublicRadio.org and on the LPR mobile app. These Sunday cantatas are brought to you commercial-free by the Substitute Organist Service. It's a program that plays your organ in your church. It's not canned music. When your organist is sick or on vacation, or you simply don't have an organist, helps church keep singing and practicing the historic liturgy. Find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com. It's time for This Week in Pop American Christianity. A couple weeks ago, we talked with Chris Rosebro about how charismatic leaders were pretty bold to make their predictions about the presidential elections. And they weren't being pundits. They weren't basing it on polls or data. Almost everyone was wrong on that one. They said God was telling them how the election was going to come out. The Holy Spirit was revealing to them who was going to win the presidency. When they're wrong, what do they do? How do they explain it? Joining us for This Week on Pop American Christianity, talking about how charismatic leaders explain false prophecies about the election, Pastor Chris Rosebro, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Is it unusual for charismatic leaders to make these kind of election time, election season prophecies?
It is extremely commonplace for leaders within the charismatic movement to be making prophecies. And the reason for this is simple, is that within many of the charismatic churches who've bought into kind of the new apostolic reformation doctrines, they believe that God has not only restored prophets to the earth, but also apostles, and that their function within the church is for them to receive from God special revelation, kind of giving them an inside track and understanding of what's coming in the future so that they can develop strategies and things that the church needs to do to prepare itself for upcoming seasons. And so it's not only common for charismatic leaders to make prophecies like this, it's actually expected, because in order to prove their value to the body of Christ, they have to be getting direct revelation from God so that the path ahead of us is not dark, but well lit with inside information from the Holy Spirit.
Now, what we're going to do here today is just do the simple operation that is really required when anyone claims to make a prediction in the name of the Lord, right? Just go back and fact check, so to speak.
Exactly. And I think it's important, as we're doing the fact checking, that we actually have a biblical definition of what constitutes a false prophet. And I would give like two major passages kind of to begin with, as the foundation for establishing this, so that we're not working with our own definitions or things like that. And the first is found in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Starting at verse 20, here's what Moses says, under the inspiration of the Spirit, the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? Which is a great question. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you need not be afraid of him. Now, it's important to note that earlier in the chapter there, the crime, this was a crime in the ancient theocracy of Israel, the crime of committing, of telling a false prophecy, this is a form of blaspheming God's name. When we hear in Scripture, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, when somebody speaks falsely, they have blasphemed. They have used God's name and attached it to false words. And one of the ways in which you know that this has happened is that they speak and it doesn't come to pass. And the punishment for this was death. It was actually a capital crime in the ancient theocracy of Israel. But that's not the only test given to us in Scripture. Another test is given to us in Deuteronomy 13. And here's what it says. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, so they actually perform a miracle, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, it actually occurs. But then he says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to see, to know whether or not you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And so the idea then is that just because somebody is able to actually accurately predict something in the future or perform a miracle, that, again, does not make them a true prophet. It's always going to be the proof in the pudding is what their doctrine is. And so the idea is that these types of things always end up supporting a message, and even if the, you know, the prophecy comes about, the question now is, doctrinally, what is this person saying? And so there's several tests given to us in Scripture, and we can definitively say that if anyone fails one of these tests, by the biblical definition, they now become a false prophet. And so I think a good way to think of this, Todd, is I know you and I both like baseball. We don't root for the same teams, but in baseball, if a guy can hit the ball, you know, successfully get on base 3 times out of 10, he can oftentimes, you know, negotiate very large multi-million-dollar baseball contracts, you know, with just a batting average of like 300. But when it comes to profits, they either have to bat 1,000 or anything less than 1,000. That means every word that they say does not fall to the ground, or they are considered a false prophet by the biblical definition. So we don't work with prophetic batting averages to determine which prophets we are to listen to. It's an all or nothing approach that's given in Scripture.
But that zero tolerance for false prophecy does not prevail among charismatics. With about 30 seconds here.
No, not at all. In fact, they actually believe infallible prophets, and we'll talk about that as the segment develops.
What's the first example you brought to us from false prophecies about this recent election?
Well, one comes from a woman by the name of Vonda Brewer, and Vonda claims to be a prophetess, and she gave a prophecy that the Republican Party would dump Trump prior to the election.
Let's get on to the word of the Lord for Donald Trump. Many of you know out there that I have had the awesome honor of the Holy Spirit to share with you that Donald Trump would be a throwaway. I have shared with you who would be his replacement. That would be Jeb Bush. He is going to be the replacement. So the Holy Spirit has been on the move. He has been making declaration after declaration after declaration in this ministry to bring it to you. Now, I bring it to you because I want God to be able to show off. I could very easily keep this to myself and just say, oh, well, I knew, but I don't want to do that. I want God to get so much adoration, and I want people to be so impressed with the voice of the Holy Spirit that he's speaking today in modern times, today in this time about this U.S. election, that he is speaking, that he knows the future, and he has chosen me, and I am not going to be shy, and I am going to declare it. And so here we go. On September the 10th is when Donald Trump will be dumped. September the 10th, 2016. The Holy Spirit gave me a vision, a night vision dream last night. And in the dream, I was watching a bunch of older men sit around, and it was like they were at a convention. I'm not saying it was a convention, but it was like they were at a convention. And they were stomping their feet like you would at a basketball game. And overwhelmingly, I heard this chant, "Dump Trump! Dump Trump!" And one of the old politicians went, "Dump Trump! Dump Trump!" Like he didn't want to be seen as the one saying, "Dump Trump." And it was an overwhelming chant. And then in the next vision, in the night vision dream, I was showing George Prescott Bush a picture, a paper. And I said, Donald Trump will be dumped on September the 10th, and it will be after a Super Tuesday. And so that's the word of the Lord.
Okay, Chris, I think a simple Google search for Donald Trump would show him to be the president-elect of the United States today.
Yeah, regardless of how you voted, Donald Trump today is on his way to being inaugurated as the president of the United States, having decisively won against Hillary Clinton in the election this week. And I can say objectively that the Republican Party did not dump him on September 10th. Now, the question is, what does this mean regarding Vonda Brewer's claims to being a prophetess? Well, she acknowledged that she got this one wrong, and she actually apologized, but she thinks that that's all that's necessary, and she's continuing to speak prophetically in the name of the Lord. And, well, biblically, we should mark her as one who is clearly a false prophetess and one who does not hear from the Lord. I mean, the story of the boy who cried wolf now becomes, you know, something that comes into play. You know, the little boy who cried wolf, and everybody came, you know, as if they were in danger, and well, there was no wolf, and he thought that was really funny. So he did it again, and everyone came the next time, and there was no wolf. And so finally he did it a third time, and nobody believed him, and then the wolf ate him up. I mean, we know how the story goes. But the question is, I mean, how many false prophecies does somebody need to give within the charismatic movement before we say, you know, there's probably a good chance they're not hearing from the Lord? And the biblical answer that we just looked at is what? Well, one. In fact, none of the prophets in Scripture ever gave a false prophecy. And so, you know, we can say regarding Vonda Brewer, she is a false prophetess and one that should be avoided and actually called to repentance. Repentance of her false prophecies and her false doctrine and her false teaching. And rather than close up shop, she still continues to claim to speak, "Thus saith the Lord." And that's really sad and tragic.
Okay, so I just want to deal with the apology thing here before we go on to the next example. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. It's a definitive vision. It's going to happen. Here's the date it's going to happen. I can't tell you exactly how, but I can tell you it will happen on September 10th. September 10th comes and goes. Maybe she's sitting around thinking, oh, maybe I had the date wrong. We'll see. By now, though, it's pretty obvious that what she heard, she did not hear from the Holy Spirit, and that she just says, "Sorry, guys." What's that about?
Well, it's a form of saving face, but what's fascinating, and we'll get to this in the last soundbite, is that within the charismatic movement, somebody who gives a false prophecy is not considered a false prophet. And that's the problem. They actually have a non-biblical definition of what it is that makes somebody a false prophet. And as a result of this, they tolerate that. So all that's needed is the person apologize, and maybe they get some accountability around them or something like that. But what's never called into question is whether or not they're actually a prophet or they're hearing from God. And I think within the charismatic movement, if they were to say that, well, this makes these people false prophets, then I'm pretty convinced that 99.99999% of the people in the charismatic movement claiming to be hearing from God would already be objectively pinned as false prophets, and that would mean that their ministries and that, you know, their claims to hearing from God would have to be, you know, called into question and absolutely found to be false. And so there's so many people claiming to be hearing from God within the charismatic movement who have prophesied falsely that to adopt the biblical definition would somehow, well, require them to say, no, this whole movement is full of people who are false prophets rather than those people who are speaking the truth.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest this week in Pop American Christianity. When we come back, another example of how charismatics both make false prophecies and then try to explain them away. We'll be hearing from Brian Karn and what he predicted about this election. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt. And the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
Do you have skills as a coder, designer, writer, marketer, project manager, or are interested in building websites? Do you want to help the church proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in? If yes, you should join our WordSites team. WordSites is a group of tech-savvy volunteers who help fellow Lutheran organizations build effective websites. Plus, we have fun while we're doing it. To submit your name, or to learn more, visit WordSites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website, reformed.
We're talking with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith this week in Pop American Christianity, how charismatic leaders explain away their false prophecies about the election. In a little bit, part two of our series on Psalms 1, 2, and 3 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, host of Redeemer Theological Academy. Chris, what's the next example of a charismatic leader making a false prophecy and then attempting to explain it away?
Brian Karn. Brian Karn, he gave a prophecy. The Lord told him who would be the next president and who that person's background would be. And let's take a look at what he said.
The reason I'm so confident about Donald Trump not winning the election is the Lord told me that whoever would be president would be a senator. You know, either have been a senator or has been a senator. I wish the Lord just tell me who it's going to be. I don't know why he do that to me. It'd be hurting my feelings. But the Lord does that to keep you dependent on him. Well, Donald Trump never been a senator. Ain't nobody going to ever make him a senator.
All right. There's another one, a little vaguer, but the specificity of our president today being a senator, most certainly false. What do you
think? Donald Trump has never held any political office. Still doesn't hold one yet. He has not been inaugurated into the office of president. But it's clear that he never was a senator. So Brian Karn, who was saying that the Lord has showed him this, that the next president would be a senator, well, that makes him, by the biblical definition, a false prophet. And, this is just objective, verifiable, simple fact-checking. And biblically, the ramifications for this are quite simple. For anybody who actually claims to be a Christian, believes in Christ, Scripture warns us to mark those who are these types of teachers, false prophets, and things like that, and to avoid them. The ramifications are, if you're truly a Christian and your allegiance is to Christ, somebody who's objectively shown to be a false prophet is somebody who you are duty-bound to not listen to. You must no longer go to their churches. You must no longer support them financially. This is what Scripture teaches regarding how we are to treat those who are false teachers and false prophets. But the problem is, in the charismatic movement, they don't go by the biblical definition. And so people like this, they get at best, just a light rap on the wrists, if you would. And that's really the problem.
I would think, Chris, before we hear our third example, I would think that if you got it wrong more than once, you might question two things. Am I really hearing from the Holy Spirit? Or maybe I should just stop this and to be on the safe side, because I'm gonna start building up a paper trail and a track record here. But that doesn't ever seem to occur to these prophets.
No, in fact, what oftentimes ends up happening is that when somebody gets a track record of multiple false prophecies of getting it objectively wrong, rather than stopping, saying that they're hearing from God altogether, their prophecies have a tendency to become vaguer and nonspecific. They'll say, rather than saying, on such and such a date, this is going to happen, they'll say something to the effect of, the Lord has warned me that in the upcoming season, there's going to be a shaking. Yeah, and the shaking is going to cause people's hearts to tremble. And that is, so what happens is they go from specific to totally non-specific, and knowing at all what it is that, that God supposedly is talking about becomes much more difficult to do.
What is our third example of false prophecies about the recent election?
Well, this one is actually not a false prophecy, but an explanation as to the charismatic view regarding those who give these types of false prophecies. And this is from the national radio host, Dr. Michael Brown. He hosts a radio program called The Line of Fire, and he spent time, he's actually a charismatic, unashamed charismatic. He was part of the Brownsville revival down in Florida during the 90s, and he gives his explanation as to what he thinks the Bible teaches regarding the distinction of what it is that makes somebody a false prophet or a true prophet, and he even cites, potentially getting it wrong regarding the election and how that plays into it.
As I understand Scripture, a false prophet is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Uh-huh. A false teacher is a heretic leading others to hell. A false prophet is not someone who loves the Lord and prophesies falsely. Remember, we're not under the Old Testament where people were dependent on the prophet to lead the nation, and a wrong word would get you stoned, okay? Yep. So I would say that if someone prophesies falsely today, they are corrected for it. They can be a believer who loves the Lord, but they make a mistake. They speak in the flesh. They confuse the voice of the Spirit for their own thoughts, and they speak falsely. I will not brand them a false prophet or false teacher based on New Testament terminology, that these people are wolves in sheep's clothing and are servants of Satan. I will say this. If I said something publicly, all right, that I got up on radio and said, God has shown me that that Ted Cruz is actually going to be our next president, that it's not going to be Hillary or Donald Trump, and it didn't happen, that would not make me a false prophet. That would mean I prophesied falsely. But you better believe that I would need to publicly apologize, that I would need accountability to speak into my life to help me to see where I made the error. And then if I ever did claim to speak prophetically again, I would expect people to be very skeptical. That would be the natural fruit of it. If we're in a prayer meeting together and you say, hey, Dr. Brown, I really sense the Lord is saying this. And I said, Ryan, I don't sense that at all. Right, let's keep praying. I'm not going to brand you a false prophet if you're wrong, or say, man, you're in error. And that's, there's a way to submit things, which is in humility and saying, hey, I feel this could be the Lord. What do you say? Let's pray about it. But if I'm going to, on a public platform or here in an international platform, get up and make a public prophetic pronunciation that is false, by all means, I need to be held accountable for it without question.
It sounds to me he's trying really hard to, shoehorn genuine false prophets into, well, come on, they mean well. They're just confused, a little bit. Does he succeed?
No, he literally is blurring a biblical distinction here. And my mentor, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, used to have this pithy saying that he would say oftentimes in his apologetics class. He would say, a difference that makes no difference is no difference at all. And, you know, I want you to kind of think about this. So what Dr. Brown is trying to do is split a theological hair. And so he's saying, somebody who prophesies falsely is not a false prophet. They've just prophesied falsely. Well, prophesying falsely makes you a false prophet according to the biblical definition. And so what he does is he shifts the definition so that he says somebody who loves the Lord, you know, that somehow exonerates them if they prophesy falsely, but that doesn't make them a false prophet because they still love the Lord. Yet Scripture is very clear on this. And I would point to like Jeremiah 23, where the Lord, speaking through a real prophet, says, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak the visions of their own mind, not from the mouth of the Lord. And so the issue is that somebody who's getting up, claiming to be receiving direct revelation from God, having the triune God himself behind their words, to disobey them is to actually disobey God. And I want you to think about that. That's the implication. If somebody says, thus saith the Lord, this, that, and the other thing is going to happen, and you need to prepare this way or that way, to disobey that prophet is to disobey God himself. But when the person has a proclivity to speak words that don't actually come about, we can say, based upon the biblical definition and Jeremiah 23, that they're not speaking the word of the Lord. They're speaking out of their own minds, their own, from their own sinful hearts. But they're using God's name to back up their words. And there's always, if you would, a sense of power that goes along with that, an authority that comes from God. But this is nothing more than a flagrant breaking of the second commandment. And so when somebody prophesies falsely, they are a false prophet by the biblical definition, because God does not allow his words to fall to the ground. God does not say, thus saith the Lord, this is going to happen, and it not happen. That is not how God operates. God does not lie. And the person who is speaking so boldly, thus saith the Lord, and it doesn't come about, they're not hearing from God, and their whole ministry now is not only suspect, according to the biblical standard, it should be marked as one to be avoided at all costs, because this person is a breaker of the second commandment, and impenitently so.
On this Friday, November the 11th, we're talking about how charismatics explain their false prophecies about the election. Pastor Chris Rosebrough is our guest. I noticed something there, a blurring of two different scenarios. The prayer service, prayer meeting, where people might speculate about what God is saying, and public teaching. We'll talk about that with Chris Rosebrough after this.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota, Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado, and Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The Issues Etc. book of the month has a title that might suggest it's just one of those books about masculinity in the church or masculinity in among Christian men, Man Up, the Quest for Masculinity. But it is focused not on you and your masculinity, but on Christ, the man on the cross, and to find in his selfless sacrifice the perfect example of manliness in our self-indulgent, our self-centered society, thoroughly Christ-centered, cross-focused, by Issues Etc. guest Jeff Hemmer. Man Up, the Quest for Masculinity is the Issues Etc. book of the month for November. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page. Or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Chris, let's talk about this, what we just heard from our previous example, a blurring, I would say, of two very different things. So he has this scenario of the prayer meeting where someone's sitting there saying, I think I'm hearing from God. And they say, well, let's pray about it. And then they decide yes or no, whether or not it is a word from the Lord, with public teaching. Now, that first scenario is very common. People wondering whether or not they're getting something from God for good or for ill. The second one, public teaching, thus saith the Lord told me this is going to happen. Those are two very different things, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And see, that's the issue. When somebody's saying, thus saith the Lord, if this is the Lord speaking, we are duty-bound as Christians to hear the word of the Lord and to obey him. And so you'll notice then what no longer exists is the objective standard of Scripture, from Deuteronomy 18 and Deuteronomy 13. Instead, what happens is that we can tell whether or not somebody is speaking true words from God based upon subjectively whether or not other people are saying, yeah, I'm feeling that too, which is never given in Scripture as a standard. In fact, this sounds more like the Jedi Council from the Star Wars movies, where, they're trying to reach out and feel the Force and what the Force is saying. And Yoda says, I feel a disturbance in the Force. And Mace Windu says, yes, I'm feeling that disturbance as well. And Obi-Wan says, well, I don't feel it. So is there a disturbance in the Force or not? Well, if three or more Jedi agree that there's a disturbance in the Force, there must be a disturbance in the Force. This is no way of objectively knowing whether or not God is speaking, which is why God has given us such a clear and simple way of understanding. And this kind of then begs the question, is not God capable of communicating to people in a way that they know that it's him and that the words are clear? Why would somebody who is a Christian somehow hear God speaking and in a way that blurs the message or is inaccurate or they're not sure whether God is speaking? This is ridiculous. When does God speak and people go, well, I'm not sure, is that God or not?
This goes so deep into the language, the thinking, and the practice. I'm not even talking about the big teachers anymore here. I'm talking about your average evangelical. I feel God is leading me. I sense God is saying or trying to say something to me. Instead of, I don't go to my Bible to check out what God has said. I pray about it. And maybe even I go talk to somebody about it. And then we decide, yes, you heard from the Lord, or no, you didn't hear from the Lord. These roots go so deep into the average evangelical's piety, don't they?
Yeah, no, they really do. They've mixed what you know we in Lutheran parlance call enthusiasm, this God withinism. They've mixed enthusiasm with the Word of God, and as a result of it, they functionally have two places that they're looking for God to speak. One is in His Word, and they do believe that God speaks in His Word. But because you know they are following enthusiasm, they believe that God also speaks from within, and so they're always trying to figure out, was that God who was speaking? Maybe it was God, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a piece of undigested pizza from the night before. I'm not sure. So the people are always on this quest to somehow clear the fog and get some hard edges on these subjective words from God. And yet, over and again, Scripture, the way it speaks of itself, says that all Scripture, the written Word of God, is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. In fact, the Scriptures point us always back to the Scriptures, and that is the place where we go, where we know God has spoken, and we will be prepared for every single good work that God has called us to. But the subjective enthusiasm that people have bought into within evangelicalism, and unfortunately this has crept into many even Lutheran churches, what it does is it puts people into a fog regarding what God is saying or said, and creates this monstrous uncertainty that drives their life, where they're never really quite sure if God is speaking or has spoken or what they're supposed to do or not. And all they need to do is get rid of the murky subjectivism and go back to the written Word of God. God there is speaking to us even now and will give us clarity in all that we need to do.
Now, he did say if someone says something from the Lord, and he set the bar pretty high, they got to say it in the big public forum, it's got to be completely wrong and all those kind of things, then they need to issue an apology. They need to have some accountability spoken into their lives. I'm not sure what that means. And then he says they should probably not try that again. Why does that remedy for what he has said fall short of what the church really ought to do when someone says, "Thus saith the Lord," and the Lord has not said?
Well, this comes back to what I said earlier, is that they need a remedy that will not abolish the majority of charismatic leaders, because every charismatic leader is guilty of these types of false prophecies. And so, you know, you got to give them a light rap on the wrist. They have to acknowledge that this was a problem, maybe get some seasoned guys around them, you know, speaking accountability into their life, whatever that means. And so the idea here is that for them, it's kind of an all-or-nothing approach. If we adopt the biblical standard, is what he's saying, it really tacitly, then we're going to have to basically acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is not at work in our charismatic church, that these people are not actually hearing from God, and that they're not really true prophets, that they're false prophets. And literally, if you adopt the biblical standard of what is a true and false prophet, the vast majority of what passes for the charismatic and Pentecostal movements today has to be called in question as not only biblically suspect, but contrary to what Scripture says.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
Yesterday, we started a series on Psalms 1, 2, and 3 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. We're going to continue that series, how Psalms 1, 2, and 3 relate together to show us a full picture right there at the beginning of the Psalter of Christ in His saving work. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned. Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldusa.org. worldusa.org.
Because Christ-centered preaching matters. Because His Word does accomplish that which He purposes. Because hanging out with like-minded Lutherans is important. Hi, I'm Alicia Herman, member of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I invite you to Redeemer. I particularly appreciate Redeemer as a church where God's grace enables us to see that our justification depends not on our performance, but solely on Christ's performance. If you're looking for a Lutheran oasis, where in a changing culture, the message stays the same, visit us in Fort Wayne or at redeemer-fortwayne.org.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.